scary basement, where me and my friend Mikey have to review horror movies or die. Worst of all, we're trapped in this basement, wherein lurks every scary thing that has ever been, including a werewolf from the future, an energy drink that drinks you, a cursed violin with teeth, and a gnome who is a serial killer. My name is Roxy Polk.
And I'm Mikey McCollar. You know, it's so rare to meet a serial killer, and it's so rare to meet a gnome, and yet we have found this single point of intersecting Venn diagrams down here in the scary basement. I hate him.
I feel like he's able to get away with it because he's so small and unassuming. You wouldn't think he's a serial killer, but he is.
And yet, Roxy, we've stopped Chucky 7 to 9 times.
This is true.
I feel like a very short serial killer.
Yeah. How are you doing, Mikey? How has your week been?
You know, it's been a fine week. It's been a good week. You know, I am really, really glad we are in the fall season. I am so glad to have football back.
And
the Pig Bot is not glad to have football back. No, 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 no.
Do you hate football, Pig Bot?
Pigbot loves football.
Oh?
But his favorite team is the Denver Broncos. And things aren't going well for the Denver Broncos.
Hey, Mikey, how bad is it? How bad is the Denver Broncos doing this season?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Okay.
She was asking me, Pigbot, but that's fine.
I'll tell you one thing. A couple weeks ago, the Miami Dolphins beat the Denver Broncos by 50 points! It was too much! They tied the second most points scored by the football team! It's going very bad! Ah, I hate it! I hate it every Sunday!
Ah. It has, like, what, 7 points for every goal, right?
And then every touchdown is 7 points!
Okay, yeah, that's a lot. Yikes.
They scored 10 touchdowns. It was 70 to 20.
Man, I'm sorry, Pigbot. That's a real shame. You got a favorite team, and I just keep seeing them do worse every week or month.
Here's what I want, or I'll kill you. Here's what's gonna happen, or else I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna turn to football, okay?
You're gonna tell me about a horror movie where a monster gets to just beat up on some humans. A movie where a monster gets to be tough and just ravage a bunch of people for almost the entire movie. Any horror movies that you can think of that are like that? Like what I can want to happen to the Miami Dolphins?
Well, Predator from 1987 has a big, muscly monster who chews up and spits out a lot of humans, takes their skulls as trophies.
That's a great idea. That's exactly what Pigbot was hoping for. A movie where just a monster gets to go pound on some dudes.
Okay. Yeah. They're all
mostly to overcome my anger. I'll get some aggression out on people.
Okay.
Because the other team I root for is monsters against people.
That's true. You do. Speaking of people, how about we talk about all the people in this movie, Mikey?
That sounds great.
Who we got in our cast that we got to look out for?
In the movie Predator, our main character is Dutch, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we will from now on just be referring to as Arnie. His name is just Arnie.
Aw, Arnie.
Arnie's been sent in to lead a mission to take out a threat in the forest.
Then we got Dylan, who is Carl Weathers. He's kind of shady and answers to the higher-ups because now he's CIA. And he's concealing the fact that the last group who went into the forest mysteriously disappeared. Also, he and Arnie are the Predator handshake meme with muscle arms that you've probably seen before. Yeah, that's from this movie.
It's like two interlocked men's hands. And
they're
like
the most muscly arms you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. And then where their hands connect, it's like hating the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's like they grip each other's hands in a handshake, but then try to flex on each other as hard as they can to be like, my bicep is bigger. But also, I am your pal.
We have Anna, who is an insurgent girl. She is held captive by Arnie's group for most of the movie.
We've got Mac, who is a machine gunner guy and is BFFs with Blaine.
We got Poncho, the explosives expert.
Then we got Blaine, who is Jesse Ventura, and he uses a huge minigun that is called Old Painless, who he is in a romantic relationship with.
Well, the thing you got to remember about Jesse Ventura is he's one of the best guys in the world when it comes to overturning conspiracies and when it comes to voting for third parties.
And also just shooting people with a giant minigun.
And for shooting guys with a giant minigun.
Then you've got Billy. He's a tracker. He's part of Arnie's team. He loves him a good knife. He loves to scream real loud.
And we got Hawkins, who is a radio operator guy who has exactly one joke he makes, and he's got glasses.
And then, finally, we have the Predator. He's an alien. He's a trophy hunter. And he's going to Earth to find humans that he views as strong, who will be impressive trophies to bring back to his home world. And maybe that Lady Predator will finally say yes to his prom invite.
Ooh. It's a bad drama here. So now that we know all of the cool dudes and ladies and monsters who are in this movie, how about we do a plot recap?
Perfect. If you haven't watched Predator, Pigbot, I'm talking to you. This is the time. Listen up. We open the film with a big alien ship near Earth. It sends out a smaller ship that lands on the planet. What is this ship's goal? Well, guess what? We're about to find out. But first, we see Arnie Schwarzenegger and a bunch of other military uniform-clad muscle men riding in a helicopter on their way to talk to some bigwig who needs to save another bigwig. This foreign cabinet minister has apparently been taking hostages in the forests of a vague and never quite mentioned South American country.
Arnie and Dylan handshake using their whole arm muscles, and then the team sets out in another helicopter to go into the forest. While they're in the helicopter, we get to see their personalities displayed and learn that Blaine, Jesse Ventura, is a sexual tyrannosaur. Whatever that means.
The thing you got to remember about Jesse Ventura is he is a sexual tyrannosaur, and it comes from chewing tobacco.
Ah, okay. Because, yeah, it's not Tyrannosaurus. It's Tyrannosaur. Whatever that means. Also, the glasses guy, he has exactly one joke, and it's about lady parts. And he will tell the same joke many times, and no one laughs.
In the forest, the boys discover a wrecked helicopter with corpses in a horrible state. Arnie recognizes them as skilled Green Berets and is suspicious of why they're there and what Dylan may not be telling them about this mission. The team reaches the guerrilla camp, where this important person that they need to save has been held hostage. However, a hostage is killed right in front of them while they do recon. The group then attacks the camp, killing rebels and Soviet intelligence officers. The only surviving rebel is Anna, who is now their hostage and who they're trying to get information from.
After the reveal that there was Soviet officers in the rebel camp for some reason, Arnie confronts Dylan, who tells them that he wasn't telling them everything, and that the CIA sent those Green Berets to stop a joint invasion by the rebels who were backed by the Russians. It's all very, way too much, basically.
Yeah. Tell us more about the conflict we don't get to see.
Exactly. But these Green Berets they sent in never made it, so Dylan decided to call Arnie and ask for his help, and that's why they're all here.
Understandably, Arnie is angry and decides that him and his team need to leave and head to the extraction point. They all trudge through the forest until something begins to attack them mysteriously. What could it be? This team has been followed by someone or something using a cloaking device and thermal imaging tech that no one on the team has ever seen before. Anna attempts to escape in the confusion, but Hawkins catches her at gunpoint. The creature then kills Hawkins and strangely spares Anna before disappearing into the forest again.
Arnie instructs everyone to find the thing that killed Hawkins. Cooper, who is Jesse Ventura, is killed by a plasma cannon during this search. In a rage.
See, the thing you got to remember about the plasma cannon is you can't get shot by it because it will cauterize your wounds and you won't bleed. I ain't got time to bleed.
He truly doesn't. But now that he is dead, in a rage, his BFF Mac takes up his friend's gigantic gun. And then all of them take up their guns and just shoot blindly into the forest like a bunch of madmen for a scene that feels like is 30 minutes of screen time. Isn't, but sure does feel like it. They manage to vaguely wound the Predator and see that its blood glows green, so it cannot be of this world.
This is where we get the "if it bleeds, we can kill it" line from Arnie Schwarzenegger. They then have a montage of setting traps and preparing for this unknown Predator. Dylan thinks there's humans after them, but Billy, with his tracker instincts, thinks otherwise. As does Anna, who actually saw the cloaked predator. She was like, no, it's an invisible man, but you can kind of see him. Sadly, their traps are triggered by a wild boar, and in the confusion, the creature steals Blaine's body for an unknown reason.
Mac is really mad about it. After none of their traps work, Arnie realizes that the predator uses the trees to move around, so all their traps on the forest floor didn't do jack shit. He then frees Anna, as right now they're all fighting to survive, even her. Anna also tells them a story that her people have told as a legend of killings and mutilated bodies that happen every few decades in this area. The group then makes a new trap, taking into account the trees that the predator uses, and this time the trap actually works.
Of course, the predator instantly frees himself from the trap and injures Poncho. Mac and Dylan go after the predator, but are not only unable to kill it, but they're killed themselves. Swing and a miss for these fellas. Dylan even gets his arm chopped off. It still fires his gun even after it's been severed, which is very metal. Billy tries to slow the predator down, but he's killed, and then Poncho is killed. From all this carnage, Arnie deduces that the predator only kills individuals who are armed and present a threat or a challenge. Arnie keeps Anna from getting a gun for this exact reason and tells her to get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Because what you gotta remember about the chopper is that it's probably run by the CIA. They did a lot of experiments on us back in the sky was orange.
Man, really getting those flashbacks over here. I feel very bad for Jesse Ventura. So now it's a showdown between Arnie and the Predator. Arnie ends up in a riverbank covered in mud, and the Predator does not see him because of this. This is when he realizes how the Predator sees the world. It uses thermal tech, so the mud obscured him from view. Armed with this knowledge, Arnie sets up a trap-filled arena while the Predator cleans off his trophies, the skulls of his many victims.
Arnie then springs his trap by letting out a war cry to show his location and lure the Predator in. He also uses a big bonfire and a torch to disrupt the Predator's vision. Arnie is then able to destroy the cloaking device that the Predator uses. However, the Predator gets the upper hand, cornering Arnie. The Predator then removes its mask and cannon to fight hand to hand, as it now sees Arnie as a worthy opponent.
The two fight, all the while Arnie is attempting to lure it into a trap he set. But the Predator sees it and avoids it. However, Arnie triggers a trap anyways, and it is not the trap, but the counterweight to the trap that proves to be the Predator's undoing and crushes him, defeating it at last. Arnie stands over it and asks, "What the hell are you?" To which the Predator just repeats the question in a simulation of Arnie's voice, presses his self-destruct countdown gauntlet thingy, and laughs.
Arnie quickly realizes what the Predator has done and immediately runs for cover, just barely escaping the blast. The evidence incinerated, surely no one will believe his story. However, at least Arnie is able to also get to the chopper with Anna, and the two of them fly away, having survived their run-in with an intergalactic trophy-hunting alien. And that, Roxy, is the Predator!
The Predator! I love this movie, Mikey. How do you feel about it? Just take vibe check.
Love isn't the word I'd use.
Okay.
I am so glad that last week we coined the term Genesis scenes. These scenes that are parodied so many times that you feel like you've seen them over and over. Because Predator is Genesis scene the movie.
It truly is. So many times in my notes, I was just like writing down lines as well to be like, man, there is so many quotable lines that you have heard like forever.
Well, even just like the vibe of this like, Dutch, it's been a long time, Captain. What are you doing here? Well, some damn fool told me you were the best. Like, nobody seriously delivers lines like these anymore, but they're coming, I guess, from Predator.
It's very fun. I guess it just feels like very larger than life in a way that it's like, yeah, this is a ridiculous, like, 80s action movie with, like, these characters who don't feel like real people but are fun to watch because they're weird, outlandish tropes doing their thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does feel like the movie that started so many tropes that we recognize. Like,
yeah, it's taking a lot from action movies, too, with that aspect.
Exactly, yeah. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger in a helicopter says, like, well, what's the deal with this mission? And they tells him, like, no backup. And he's like, this is getting better by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that nobody could, with a straight face, make in the year God, probably 2005. We were parodying this kind of movie relentlessly by then. And it is very fun.
Because of the time it was made, there's a genuineness to this time period that is this is the epitome of cool and badass and everything like that. Where if you tried to make it the same thing again now, it would ring hollow and would not feel genuine. There's no way you can try and capture the weirdness that this movie exudes in that specific way.
We've also learned that, it's really powerful for men to, be soft and love each other.
It's true.
That's where strength comes from, not from having literally the biggest bicep anyone's ever had.
Mm-hmm. Competing for who has the biggest bicep, who is the biggest sexual tyrannosaur,
So we get this wonderful scene at the top in the helicopter where we get all these guys, we get all their personalities, we get one of the best line deliveries, if the line itself is a little iffy, from Jesse Ventura, where he goes...
I can't even remember what the lead up was. He's talking about, sexing a lot of ladies, I assume.
He's offering everybody his chew.
Tobacco right.
Chew.
Gross.
And nobody says it. And he goes, We got a bunch of slack-jawed F-slurs around here.
Oh.
This stuff will make you into a goddamn sexual tyrannosaur.
That's
just
right.
Like me. And it's like, your tobacco?
Oh my god.
Is what funnels your libido?
So wild. Bizarre. Yeah, this gross black crud that you're going to chew on like it's a cow chewing its cud. And then you're going to spit it out and it's going to be even more gross than it was going in. Yeah, that's going to make you real sexy,
but
dude.
It does. Ooh. It is the only way he can get a boner. So who's the winner here?
I mean, that's his problem.
But we get other little things. We get, you mentioned the guy with the glasses telling the big pussy joke that he tells a couple of times.
I think he tells that to Jesse Ventura after he says the sexual tyrannosaur thing, or somebody else. He tells it to somebody. Maybe it's Mac. And the guy gives him nothing. He just stares him down the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
It's very funny. And there's a couple of beats, we kind of get it from Arnold with this is getting better by the minute. We definitely get it with Jesse. We kind of get it with Glass. We're getting little hits of these guys' personality.
Yeah.
And then never again. And then the rest of the movie, it's all just the guys being, they're all interchangeable guys from this point forward. Do you feel the same?
Billy is the only one who, he's a tracker. I'm not sure if he is, native in some capacity. He looks like he's vaguely Native American. And they're definitely trying to imply that he is, because he's a tracker and he uses a knife and he's supposed to know the environment more intunely, even though it's a new place and stuff. So he's kind of angled as being this person who is smarter and more able to notice things in the environment compared to the other dudes.
He's kind of the guy who's out of this world. He's very clear. Once the predator attacks, he's we're all going to die and I'm okay with that. Right?
Yeah,
he's
the guy he basically sacrifices himself in a way where he didn't need to, where it's he goes after it. We know this thing uses a literal plasma cannon, and he's just I'm going to attack it with my knife and scream, and then that's it. And he doesn't even die on screen. You just hear him scream off screen, and then it's I guess he's dead. So it's very, very strange how he is handled in the end, because it seems like he's smarter than that, and then he just does that because they maybe didn't know what to do. Also, Jesse Ventura is wearing an MTV shirt, Mikey.
That's cool.
Why is he doing that? Did they have some sort of partnership? Is it product placement? I don't know.
I think that was the ultimate symbol of cool in the 80s.
Back in the 80s.
When this movie was being made, MTV was as cool. It was The Simpsons in the 90s. It was EverQuest in the 2000s. I couldn't think of anything. Yeah, it was very cool. I really, really liked the helicopter scene. I don't think I've ever hated a scene in a movie more than the bullet scene.
It's so ridiculous. It takes forever, and they're just shooting at nothing. And it's why is this scene going on for so long? It doesn't need to. And out of all of that, they kind of maybe wing it. I think they hit its leg or its arm or something very vaguely. It amounts to nothing in the end as well. It's just we're doing this. Why? Because angry?
I would argue that this scene on its own isn't great. But what it portends and what it what it shifts about the rest of the movie is what makes it my least favorite scene, because we kind of had this this silly little group of dudes who are doing their funny thing. Then we have the shooting scene, and from that point forward, it's just a boner of a movie. It is all just look at how big our dicks are, the movie. They are attacking and fucking, it's just like, that's when we lose any sort of individuality to a lot of the characters. It just becomes a lot of bullets and stuff. But what did you think?
Yeah, so I think to an extent it shows that, but then it also shows how inept and pointless all of that was. Like, for all of their guns and posturing and muscles, it means nothing in the end. The only thing that has them survive in the end is, one, the girl who didn't have a gun and wasn't being an asshole. She survives because she didn't do that. And then two, Arnie, who is willing to see and grow past that to actually try and think about the situation in a tactical way to survive. To think outside the box, to be like, oh, it must be using thermal imaging because it didn't see me. It literally, like, stepped on me because it thought I was a rock.
Yeah.
So, and, like, he sets all those traps and stuff and is trying to, he's doing the 1v1 where it's just the two of them going head to head. And, like, the only reason why he wins is because literally he set up this trap. His trap doesn't even work, but he knows because of the counterweight he set up that the thing is right under the counterweight. So even though it wasn't as intended, he's able to use it to his advantage. But, like, none of the other dudes try to think about things tactically, and it's just kind of Arnie at that point. Which I think is what makes it kind of neat, because it is, like, this huge action movie, but then it's like, oh, we actually have to think about what we're doing. We can't just, like, write, Arnie shoots the predator, and that's it. We actually have to think about how he's going to get around it, like a puzzle, kind of.
The thing that was, like, I was kind of interested in as we went through is that, like, the way Arnold Schwarzenegger defeats the predator is kind of by becoming the jungle.
He
becomes a part of his surrounding, and it becomes bigger than just himself.
He's literally covered in the mud from the jungle.
Right, yeah. Yep. And you even mentioned it again, like, the predator thought he was a rock. Predator. And the person who kept coming to mind as I watched this movie was Donald Trump Jr.
Okay, not what I was expecting you to say. All right.
There were all those shots of the, and it might have been both of the Trump boys, where they were just, like, going hunting and they were just, like, proud of themselves for killing a lion.
Oh, yeah.
It was like they paid money for these, like, excessive trips that, like, take you to go kill a lion.
Exactly. And just, like,
the predator the horrible feels big game like
hunter bullshit.
Yeah. It does feel like, the like, ultimate masculinity of this movie is that, like, a man of the land will defeat a man of technology. If the predator comes in...
I guess, but, like, the predator is positioned as one of these shitty big game hunters who just comes in to, like... He has superior weaponry and tech where it's, like, not a challenge to be shooting these dudes from afar. Like, it's exactly. Very easy for him to be doing this.
Yeah.
And it's, like, how is that even a challenge or worth it to you at that point, you... Fucking creepy.
It does make him very villainous. And yeah. I do like that, like, because the predator, like, the idea of being hunted, like, but he's still kind of noble. Like, at the end, he starts, like, honorably fighting.
Only at the end does he decide to turn.
Yes. But then he goes right back to being villainous by blowing up Arnold Schwarzenegger, attempting to, rather. They do a really good job of it. Just like, and again, obviously, we weren't in this phase where, like, billionaires were hunting elephants and posting it on social media when Predator came out.
Yeah, it was not as prevalent. Like, they were doing that shit. We just didn't know.
Yeah. But now it's, like, it's such a hateable thing.
Truly.
Like, this technology man can come in and just fucking, like, break up an ecosystem. So it is very satisfying for Arnold Schwarzenegger to become this, like... I almost feel it's getting Western-y in my head. Just like he is this man of the land, this man of an older time who, when somebody new is coming in, the sheriff or the oil baron, by learning the land and learning how to use your situation to your advantage, is able to beat a technologically more well-equipped creature. Like, that's cool. That's kind of a Western-y thing. The ultimate in masculinity.
Yeah. It's definitely playing into very masculine, like, kind of tropes and stuff of the time. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend it's not. But I think it is, like, toying with other aspects of it as well, especially with getting them all decimated as well to show that, like, it means nothing. But I think it's kind of neat.
It's also important to point out that the predator's mouth is a vagina.
It's something, man. Yeah, the design of this predator, the way the mask and everything is created, it's very well done and very gross and, like... Who even comes up with this thing? I know there's, like, an actual designer who did it, but, like, the original Predator design looked so bad that they scrapped it, and I'm glad they took it back to the drawing board to make this thing that is, like, vaguely human in its shape, like, its body and everything, but it's very different, especially with its face. And, like, having it have a mask, both, like, obscures it, makes it look cool, and also seems to denote that, like, yeah, it's used to surviving in environments not like this, you know, like, yeah. in order to breathe or whatever. Yeah, they've got a lot of small things like that, too. Like, the characters on the wrist thing to do, like, the countdown, like, Arnie determines that it's like, oh, this is a countdown or numbers or something. I need to get the hell out of here. Where it's like, they put some thought into being like, oh, yeah, okay, they've got, like, their own language system and everything, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you'd see remnants of that, but they're not going to talk about it. It's just, like, there.
There is something about that countdown that the Predator is using when he's using his, when he's turning himself into a bomb that just reads so much like a countdown, even though they're gibberish little symbols. And it might just be that, like, of the four window screens we see, they're shutting off one by one.
Mm-hmm. And the way it's laughing, too, it's just so funny because it's like, the fact that this thing can find amusement, that it's capable of laughter, is like so much more insidious to let you know that it's like, obviously it's an intelligent thinking creature like a human, but like even more so the fact that it laughs.
It's a bad like person.
Evident. Yes, exactly. It's evident of that.
And I thought we were building towards a moment where, you know, the Predator takes off and loses all his weaponry to fight Arnold Schwarzenegger one-on-one. And that we were building to a moment where, just like he did with Dylan at the beginning, Arnold Schwarzenegger clasps hands with the Predator and they both have their, like, powerful bicep. We do not get that. He has a little bit of a face turn, to use pro wrestling nomenclature, before he flips right back to heel.
Yeah, where he's like, okay, I'll fight you on equal terms. And then, nah, I'm just going to blow you up because I'm a sore loser.
Nah, I actually designed. The other very funny bicep moment that came out of the Carl Weathers character.
Oh, real quick.
Oh, sure.
I'd like to say how much nicer that would be if they ended the movie with friendship instead of blowing up. Imagine if what they could have done had they decided to be friends. What a nice sentiment, Mikey.
It's powerful. That's what we do as men. We respect our opponents. We respect what they've done, even though we have dominated them. Carl Weathers, who is on the other end of the meme hand clasp picture from Predator, does get his arm blown off in this movie.
He does. You know, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, he sure does.
There is nothing that made me think the Predator was a good hunter more than that moment, because he was like, what matters most to this man? His bicep.
Yeah.
And that's where he attacked.
It's literally the bicep holding the gun, too. So it's like, he loves his gun and he loves his bicep. And now he's parted from both.
Very cool.
And it's just so funny how it just continues to shoot. I think it might even be in slow motion or something, that scene where Carl Weathers dies and you see the gun shooting. I could be wrong, but in my brain, at least, I remember it that way.
Also shot so poorly. It's like unclear what happens until like four shots later. And because the whole thing is in slow motion, it's just like, it's a long time between, like, it looks like it passes by him. And then all of a sudden we see the arm. It's fine.
I also want to say there's like two setting traps montages. And I had to literally check before this movie when Home Alone came out. Home Alone came out after this movie, like three or four years after. So Home Alone copy Predator.
Yeah.
It's my theory.
I mean, kind of. I think there is this sort of like children's movie sentiment where it's like, we're going to make a musical buddy movie for kids. Like, we're going to make I was going to say From Justin to Kelly, but that's not a movie that did well that people would want.
Oh, I did also want to say one other thing that I noticed. In the beginning, or not even in the beginning, throughout the whole movie, they use, like, this sound effect, which maybe our lovely editor can track this down. But it's like a sound effect that is also in the Ocarina of Time Forest Temple. There's like this background noise. Yes. And they kept doing it. I kept hearing it. And I was like, am I going crazy? No, that's the Ocarina of Time Forest Temple noise.
Me too.
Yes,
me too.
Okay, I know that too.
What is that sound? Roxy, I watched this movie on an airplane.
Did you really?
I had to keep taking my headphones off and looking around. Somebody's playing Nintendo 64 on their Nintendo Switch.
And another video game thing I noticed, at least it just my mind goes to it because it's me, I guess. This sort of starts out as like a Metal Gear Solid sneaking mission at the beginning.
God, that's
like
a great point.
They're like trying to infiltrate this base. There's like some weird stuff with the Soviet Union and CIA going on in the background. It's all bullshit. Until they blow shit up, but it was like they're crawling around in the forest looking like they're having a great time, by the way. Very funny.
It pretty early takes a sci-fi turn when you're not expecting it.
Yes, yeah. Sure does. So that is the Predator movie. It's a, man, what a wild ride it was. Mikey, do you have a question for me?
I do. So I'm watching this movie. I'm getting freaked out about the idea of one day running into a Predator. Roxy, I want to know, if you come across a Predator, what weapon are you using to fight him?
So I don't know how much of this is like an actual weapon in reality. Once again, as I've proved several times already, my mind goes straight to video games. And it went to Resident Evil weapons. Mm. So I was like, man, a grenade launcher with acid rounds would be great. Because I feel like that would just melt the Predator. Assuming he doesn't have biology or items that would be resistant to acid, I sure hope. But I think like Predators fight aliens and aliens have acid blood. I think they melt them, don't they? I don't know. I would take a chance on acid rounds, I guess, and I'd see how far that'd get me. What about you, Mikey?
Acid rounds are a great idea just because, like, the explosion of them, like, they melt. And so then you're starting to damage some of his tech.
Yeah, if you don't damage him, you're damaging the tech, or vice versa, if one of them is resistant, I guess.
Me? I'm taking two... excuse me. Two handheld sawed-off shotgun.
Ooh, okay.
And that's because... number one, I love that motion that you see in like some action movies. I think there's even a shotgun in Resident Evil that is like this, where you like aim it one-handed and then you flick it down and you like jolt up the shells and put new shells in it. But you can just like somehow, like it looks like you're just going like.
Yeah, it's got a very cool kinetic movement to it.
I want
to
swing it down, swing it up. But also there's such a widespread distance that I feel like. I can't tell where Predator is, so if I can go, like, if I make a T pose, right? I've got my arms straight out, shooting left and right, and I'm just shooting like this and spinning, I'll eventually hit him. And if I spin fast enough, really, my survival depends on how fast I can spin. And I'll tell you something, Roxy.
Can you spin real fast, Mikey?
I'm Crash Bandicoot over here. I can spin real fast.
Whoa. That's amazing. I think that's a good choice. Yeah, shotguns are always good. I always feel like safer when I'm using a shotgun in any given game where there is a shotgun to be had. It feels like a security blanket.
Or in any given interaction with your extended family.
I mean, depends what crimes they've committed, I guess. All right, so down here in the scary basement, we rate the movies we watch. Sometimes it's just because we like it, or sometimes it's like, yeah, that's very well made. So we rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 thumbs. We can go over 2 thumbs because we've got our 2 thumbs of our own. And then we got this big box of hands for the remaining 3 should we need it. So Mikey, how would you rate this movie, Predator?
You know, starting to wonder if Predator is our bizarro American Werewolf in London, which I gave 5 stars and you gave 2 stars, right?
Uh-huh.
Or 2 thumbs. Ugh, yeah. Thumbs. A star down here would kill us, because it wouldn't be a cute star from Mario 64. It would be an actual star from space, which is scary and would burn us all.
Yeah, we'd all die.
I am giving this movie 2 thumbs.
Okay.
It's great until it's not. There's a lot of downtime. It takes itself very seriously. It's not its fault necessarily, but this movie has been parodied to death and it's just like, it doesn't work anymore. I'm like, you guys all need to go to therapy. You don't need to talk to Predator.
If only they'd live past the mission, maybe they could.
It was just like, it's fine. The things about it that are fun, it's got moments of big, dumb fun, but it definitely crosses a line for me in that it's too dumb to be fun.
Okay, that's definitely fair. I think, yeah, like you said, it's the reverse of this. I gave this movie 5 thumbs because I have so much fun with it. I know objectively there are many things wrong with it. But for me, it's a 5 out of 5 movie. I'd love to rewatch this, just putting it on. I guess I just also like dumb Arnie action movies as well, so it appeals to me in that way. And I like sci-fi stuff, so I was predisposed to like it. Very funny, very quotable, very goofy in its own right. But yeah, it does take itself very seriously, and I'm okay with that. I'm purposely overlooking it. We can rate it however we want. So
that's literally the point of it. It's just like, how much joy did watching it give you?
Yeah, exactly. We are not like official movie reviewers who it is our full-time paid job that you can put us under a microscope for it.
Yeah. I don't care. Put me under a microscope. I don't care.
Yeah. 2 out of 5, 5 out of 5. Who the fuck cares? So how about we talk about a palate cleanser? So what was the exact sort of opposite or in opposition, I guess, experience for you that was either a movie, a book, TV show, concert, whatever, overall entertainment experience, basically, that you consider the opposite of the movie we just watched?
Well, there's a movie that came out just this year, Roxy. It's called Bottoms. It's one of my favorite movies of the entire year. It stars Rachel Sennett and Ayo Edebiri.
I've heard good things about this from you and other folks, too.
Might just be from me, yeah. It really feel like it came and went. It's so wild. It's about two girls who are gay in high school, and they start a fight club to get women to like them. They start an all-girl fight club. They're like, the testosterone will be coming. So it's a teen movie set in high school, so it's got all these tropes, right? They're all the tropes that we see being born in Predator. Similar tropes, but they're played in such a fun, interesting new way. And the moment I knew what this movie was very early on is there's an overhead announcement at their school where the school, in summoning our two lead characters to the office, they go, "Will the ugly, untalented gays please come to the office?" And
wow.
the bully girls are like, "Guess that's you." So it's like, okay, this is like magical realism. Like, it's so silly. It's so over the top. Because it's a fight club, there are scenes of intense violence that are cartoonish. Like, they're visceral and bloody. Like, people are getting blood splattered and teeth knocked out. But then in the next scene, they're kind of just fine.
Yeah, they just move on.
It's so funny. So it's a movie that is full of tropes that are spinning tropes in brand new, bizarre little ways. I love Bottoms. It's one of my favorite movies this year.
That seems neat. I really need to watch that. I've heard good things about it. It sounds very funny and possibly cute. And goofy as hell.
What's your opposite Predator movie?
So mine was, once again, a video game, I guess.
Video game! Of course!
So I think Dark Souls 3 is the opposite of it. It's one I've been playing a lot recently. Because you know what? It's pretty clear how you're supposed to just, you've got a target in front of you, you kill that predator, you go and you hunt that one thing down. Mm-hmm. This game is so obtuse. I kill a boss, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do next, where I'm supposed to go. I'm so confused about where I'm supposed to go. There's not just one boss, you got a lot of different bosses. And you know what? The NPCs you run into, you actually care about them, even though some of them are so strange. They're not really tropey, even if it's like, oh, this guy's a thief, or that guy's a sorcerer, or this guy's like a weird assassin, or the sad guy who just sits over there. Somehow they make you care about them, with even when they give you very little to go on. And in particular, my favorite is this thief guy called Grey Rat, who is someone who you like save from a prison cell, and he goes to your base and he's like, "Oh, I'm looking for this woman. Can you give her this ring if you find her? I'd appreciate it." And you go and find her, and she's dead. And so all you can do is just, like, bring back proof of that. And, like, after that, he, like, wants to try and be of use. First, he, like, grieves in front of you. He's so upset he can't even talk to you. But then he's like, "Okay, well, I want to be useful. How about I find some stuff for you?" And he goes on, like, these increasingly dangerous and self-destructive missions to, like, try and get you stuff to, like, not address his grief and just, like, throw himself into his work and not care about his own safety. There's just, like, the context behind it. It's not like he's telling you, "I'm throwing myself into my work and my grief to help you because I don't know how else to be of use in this decaying world." He's just like, "Oh, how about I go get some stuff for you?" The thing is, though, okay, I went into all that detail of that quest line to just say that there will be options where it'll be like, "Hey, do you want me to go hunt down some stuff for you? Yes or no?" And then there will be other NPCs where it's like, "Should I tell this NPC about this guy or something?" And he's like a dude who has betrayed you in not only every Souls game he's been in, but in the game you're in currently. His name is Patches. He's like a character who is in almost every Souls game. I don't know if he's in Elden Ring. Maybe he is. But he's a piece of shit who tries to kill you and betrays you every time. And so, like, this one time, you're like, "I'm not going to tell you where my friend's going." If you don't tell this shitty dude where your friend is going, he dies. Because this shitty dude actually comes in and saves him for some reason. A dude who never saves anybody, who never thinks of anybody but himself, chooses to do that this one time. So it's like, how are you supposed to know these things? You're just going to kill people left and right because you have no idea. It's very unclear and obtuse, and I'm terrified of these guys living or dying, because who knows what's going to be my fault. It is not straightforward like in Predator, where I don't give a shit about these guys. They're just tropes that are dying in goofy ways. Who cares?
Yeah, even the, like, lowest of the low, you got little gray rat over here who you have found affection for. And yet, yeah. Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, he died and we're like, all right, moving on.
Yeah, I don't care. It's, like, goofy. Like, I only like Arnie's character. We literally call him Arnie. We don't call him Dutch because I don't give a shit about this character. Right. I only care about him because he's Arnie, who I've seen in other movies.
How could he?
And then also just, like, the settings are completely opposite. We got medieval cursed fantasy land with castles and swords and shit versus modern-day jungle with guns and sci-fi bullshit. So, yeah, if you want to be emotionally invested and tortured, play Dark Souls 3, I guess.
I'm going to play that game someday.
Someday. We could play it together, Mikey. That's one of the things I do like about that. In fact, that's the only thing that gets me to play these games is because you get to play them with other people. All right, it's time for haunted plugs, Mikey, where we're heading out or to another part of the scary basement where no pig bot can hurt us, hopefully, for another week.
We'll see.
Fuck. Okay, we'll do this quick and get out of here. All right, so you can follow Scary Basement on Twitter, which is at @scary_basement. And then we got Scary Basement on Instagram, which is at @scarybasementpod. And then guess what? We also got a YouTube channel. Go check us out. Give us a follow, a like, a subscribe, all that. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. It is youtube.com/@scarybasementpodcast. Mikey, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter @secretblimp. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/secretblimp. And you can find me on Blue Sky at bluesky.biz. No, it's secretblimp.bluesky.com. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't know. I get so confused by that. So I just say what my name is and you guys can figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Where do we find you on the internet?
My Twitter, Twitch, and Blue Sky are all the same thing, so you can find me on all those platforms real easy. Go do it. I am Red Mage Roxy on Twitter, Twitch, and Blue Sky. Come say hello. Come hang out on the stream.
And wherever you're listening to this podcast, navigate to the review section. Give us 5 stars. 5 stars for Scary Basement, please. You know
that. We appreciate it. Yeah. And you know what? How about you tell your pals about it? We'd appreciate it if you would tell your friends about this podcast. Word of mouth goes a long way. Trust me, it does. And you can help very easily just by telling your friends. Costs you nothing. And we'd appreciate it.
Finally, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/supernpcradio. We are a part of the Super NPC Radio podcasting group. Tons and tons of video game related content. If you sign up at the $10 DJ Toad tier, you get an extra podcast from me and Roxy every month, Press X to Scream about horror video games. You get tons and tons of content from all the other folks at The Reactivators, at Video Games, a Comedy Show, at Call Me By Your Game. You can get so many podcasts, your dick will bleed. started saying it. I was like, well, we're in it. Check out the Patreon. Get some extra pods. Patreon.com.
Good things will happen to you, like your dick not bleeding, I swear. Good things only.
Patreon.com/supernpcradio.
Thanks, everybody. I hope your dicks don't bleed. See you next week.